We open with hymn number 140.
Thank you. open thou my lips.
And my mouth shall show forth thy praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Read responsibly Psalm 6, found on page 124. Psalm 6, found on page 124. O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger.
Neither chasten me in thy heart displeasure.
Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak.
O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed.
My soul is also sore vexed.
But thou, O Lord, how long?
Return, O Lord, deliver my soul.
O save me for thy mercy's sake.
For in death there is no remembrance of thee.
In the grave who shall give thee thanks?
I am weary with my groaning. All the night I make my bed to swim.
I water my couch with my tears.
Mine eye is consumed because of grief.
It waxeth old because of all mine enemies.
Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity.
For the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping.
The Lord hath heard my supplication.
The Lord will receive my prayer.
Let all mine enemies be ashamed and sore vexed.
Let them return and be ashamed suddenly.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our first lesson this evening is found in the 6th chapter of Matthew, the 16th through the 21st verse. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites, with a sad countenance. For they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Do not lay up treasures for yourself on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Here ends the first lesson. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. We hear now the Passion History, the first reading, the preparation of the Passover lamb. And it was near the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is called Passover. And Jesus said to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days is the Passover, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to be crucified." Then the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders of the people assembled together in the place of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and plotted that they might take Jesus by trickery and kill him. For they feared the people. But they said, "Not during the feast, lest there be an uproar among the people." Now, when Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him having an alabaster flask of very costly fragrant oil, and she broke the flask and poured it on his head as he sat at the table. When his disciples saw this, they were indignant, saying, "To what purpose is this waste? For this fragrant oil could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor." And they criticized her sharply. When Jesus was aware of it, he said to them, "Leave her alone. Why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and when you wish, you may do them good. But me you do not always have. She has done what she could, for in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial for her. And Satan entered Judas, surnamed Iscariot, who was numbered among the 12. And he went his way, and he conferred with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him to them. And he said, "What are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you?" When they heard it, they were glad. And they gave him 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought an opportunity to betray him in the absence of the multitude. Now on the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, on which the Passover must be killed, the disciples came to Jesus and said to him, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And Jesus sent Peter and John and said, "Go into the city. Behold, when you enter, a man will meet you who is carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he enters. And say to the owner of the house, 'The master says to you, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house. Where is the guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large furnished upper room. There make ready." They went and they found it as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. And in the evening he came and sat at the table with the 12 apostles and said to them, "With desire I have desired to eat the Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you that I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes on the day when I will drink again with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they ate it in the night that he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took the bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, gave thanks, gave it to them, and said, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And they all drank from it. Now, before the feast of Passover, which is on the same evening, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus knew that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and he began to wash the disciples' feet and dried them with the towel with which he had girded himself. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, are you washing my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, then you have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is already completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you." For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, "You are not all clean." So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, 'Well, for so I am.' I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet. You ought to wash one another's feet. I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, A servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. I do not speak concerning all of you. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scriptures might be fulfilled, he who eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it comes, that when it comes to pass, you may believe that I am he. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. Here ends the first portion of the Passion History.
But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us.
We sing hymn 152.
Thank you.
grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is found in the second chapter of Joel, the 12th through the 19th verse. Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. So rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm. Who knows if he will turn and relent, and leave behind him a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Consecrate a fast. Call a sacred assembly. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children and nursing babes. Let the bridegroom go out from his chamber and the bride from her dressing room. Let the priests who minister to the Lord weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord, and do not give your heritage to reproach, that the nations should rule over them. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Then the Lord will be zealous for his land and pity his people. The Lord will answer and say to his people, behold, I will send you grain and new wine and oil, and you will be satisfied by them. I will no longer make you a reproach among the nations. Here ends our text. You may be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Beloved in Jesus Christ, let us ponder Jesus in his holy passion, even as we sing at the beginning of every Lenten season. Let us ponder that sacred head which was wounded. There were many wounds which afflicted our Lord. The wounds of his flesh are manifest, the scourge, the crown of thorns, the nails. But there were other wounds also. Wounds of betrayal by his own dear friend, wounds of apathy as his closest disciples are callous to his suffering. Wounds of denial, and then of mockery, and finally, the deepest wound of all that pierced him, the wound of abandonment, rendered by the Father himself, the stroke that justice gave. But let us not only see his wounds, but also their cause. As we sang, I also and my sin wrought this deep affliction, which indeed the cause hath been of thy crucifixion. For if his wounded head is weighed down with grief and shame, it is the grief and shame of our sins. It is our sins that Lent brings before our eyes as we on bended knee fall before the Father. The knowledge of our sin has pierced us to the core. It has brought us down to the dust. We are wounded, not innocently, but by the knowledge of our own guilt. And therefore, we have in this Lenten season a wounded Savior for a wounded people. And it is such that our sermon text brings to us in the opening words. Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. So rend your heart and not your garments. It is not a mere outward penitence that our Lord desires, because our sin is not merely an outward sin. Sin is not a sickness that comes upon us that we simply have to shake off with the right medicine. The innermost desires of our heart are sin. Therefore, if we think that we shall come to the Lord with anything less than a penitence of the heart, acknowledging that we are beggars, lost and broken by our own fault and folly, that ours is no true penitence at all? Will God be satisfied if we put on a show during Lent? If we tear our clothing like the Israelites of old did when they expressed their grief? Rend your heart and not your garments. It is your heart that is desperately wicked, not your dress. Rend your hearts. And so that you do not fear to appear before your God so naked and helpless, hear the nature of the Lord before whom you appear. He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm. Who knows if he will turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Here, my dear friends, is the astonishing hope in the midst of our sadness, that our God, who is rightly angry with us, instead turns his anger away and comforts us. He will hear us in our penitence, and he will turn from his anger and look indeed at what it is that he does, even as we have nothing to offer him, no good gift that we can bring. He gives a great and precious gift to us. He leaves for us a blessing, a gift of grain and wine. So that when we appear before him, the only thing that we can bring is the bread and wine which he has already given to us. This is the body and blood of Jesus. For the gift that he gives to us in our misery, in our despair, in our destitution, is nothing less than the flesh and blood of his dear Son. And when we appear before him, the only thing that we can bring is that same body and blood. We cannot offer up to God our own works, nor our own righteousness, but only the works and merits and righteousness of Jesus Christ. We plead the very gift that he has given to us, the body and blood of Jesus, for the forgiveness of our sins. And with these, our Father in heaven shall be well pleased. The wounded body, the shed blood of Jesus is our refuge when our sins weigh heavily against us. He is a wounded Savior for a wounded people. And we must never let the treasure of his wounds pass from our memory. That is why this is such a precious time of year. There may not be Lenten decorations in the stores and on the streets and Lenten music on the radio, but this season is even more precious than that time of Christmas and Epiphany that has recently ended, because here is where the great event takes place. The focal point of all history, the atonement for the sins of the world. It is therefore good and right that we heed the cry of the prophet Joel. Blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and nursing babes. Let the bridegroom go out from his chamber and the bride from her dressing room. Let the priests who minister to the Lord weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord. Fasting and sackcloth and ashes have gone out of vogue these days, though two out of the three are still a prominent part of the Lenten season for the bulk of the Christian church on earth. The church at one time would take the palms from the previous Palm Sunday and burn them and use the ashes to mark the penitents who came to church on this day with the sign of the cross on their forehead. That is how this day got its name, Ash Wednesday. This and the self-denial of fasting served as visible and as felt reminders of our sin. And it is sad that in most of the church today they have fallen out of use, for how readily we forget that we are all beggars before our God. Were it not for the flesh and blood of Jesus given and shed for our sins, it is we ourselves who would be ashes, burned and burning forever. But Jesus was brought to death in our place, and therefore hunger pains of the fast remind us of our sin and poverty, and the ashes which form the cross remind us of his death for our death. The symbol may have passed out of use among us, but the truth behind it is eternal and always before us. Therefore, how great indeed is the mercy of our God. How enduring is his steadfast love. He continues to take pity on his people. He is zealous for his land, his church. He sees our repentance, and he is well pleased, and he gives us this promise. Behold, I will send you grain and new wine and oil, and you will be satisfied by them. I will no longer make you a reproach among the nations. Grain and new wine, the body and blood of his Son, and oil, his Holy Spirit. We come in penitence because he draws us with his goodness, and he has promised to hear us and to have mercy. And when we plead the body and blood of his Son and not our own merit, he gives us more of the same. The fruits of the salvation of Christ never cease. With the flesh and blood of his Son, he continues to satisfy us. And with his Spirit, he sustains and renews our faith. And he preserves us until our end. This is the fruit of our wounded Savior. And though he was wounded once, his flesh and blood continue to satisfy us, to feed us until the end of time. We need nothing else, for with them God has given us everything. Therefore, rend your hearts and not your garments. Come before the Lord, wounded by your guilt, but pleading the body and blood of his Son. And you shall be satisfied with his mercy. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing hymn 156.
Oh,
Let my prayers be set forth before thee as incense.
We sing the Nunc Dimittis.
Lord, thou wouldst of thy servant depart in peace. Honor me to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all
Almighty and everlasting God, who hatest nothing that thou hast made, and dost forgive us all, and doth forgive all the sins of those who are penitent, create and make in us new and contrite hearts, that we, worthily lamenting our sins and acknowledging our wretchedness, may obtain of thee, the God of all mercy, perfect remission and forgiveness, through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray, O God, from whom all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works do proceed. Give unto thy servants that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey thy commandments, and also that by thee we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may pass our time in rest and quietness, through the merits of Jesus Christ our Savior, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all.
Good evening.